Today's sermon is kind of a little bit of a tricky topic because everybody is in such a different place in their life regarding this subject. But the wonderful thing about God is that he can take just a couple paragraphs and then apply it to everybody. So I'll just put it into his hands. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you today just so grateful that we can be here and we can just celebrate with you and worship you. And we ask that the words that I say just come straight from you and not from me. And if there's anything left over there from me, you just take it away and give the people exactly what you want them to hear. Amen. I want to start out with a passage from Romans 12. Romans 12, 1 to 2. As I was coming in this morning with Liang, I was telling her, I have a page of the scripture here today that has all the different scriptures that I was planning to share. And I said, you know, I could read these scriptures and then not say another word, and it would probably be way better than anything else that I could do. Because it's just right there. I mean, it's so right there that what else can I add? And her suggestion was, well, at least explain a little bit. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. I'm going to give you the scripture, but please pay attention to what it says. Because that's it's better than what I could write. And this first one, it's like I would sit down and write it because it's a letter to the church in Rome. And from Romans 12, 1 to 2, it says, "So brothers and sisters, since God has shown us great mercy, I beg you to offer your lives as a living sacrifice to him. Your offering must be only for God and pleasing to him, which is the spiritual way for you to worship. Do not be shaped by this world. Instead, be changed within by a new way of thinking. Then you will be able to decide what God wants for you. You will know what is good and pleasing to him and what is perfect." I love that in this letter it says, "I beg you." I was tickled by that particular phrase. It says, "I beg you to offer your lives as a living sacrifice to him." Knowing that the author so desperately wanted that for the people that he was talking to, that he uses that language was tremendous to me. And it goes on to say that your offering should be only for God and not to be shaped by the ways of the world. Today's sermon is about giving your life over to God. Just wholeheartedly, just letting him have it. And for me, that changed slightly in the past couple months or weeks. I don't know how long it's been. You may be aware that when I do the sermons these days, there was a switch that I made somewhere along the way where I started saying, "Okay, God, you give me the words, and then I'll preach them." There was a beautiful sermon that I did for me. I don't know if it was beautiful for anybody else, but it was one where I asked him to give me what to say during the week so that I could prepare things. And he said, "No, don't worry about it." And I was so anxious all week because it just kept creeping closer to Sunday, and I wasn't getting a clear idea of what to say. And the whole point of it, from what I understand, and I'm sure there are many points, is that he was saying, "I'll take care of this one if you get out of the way." And so after that point, sermons for me became this wonderful thing that I could get up and just talk, and I could trust him to just take it over and do whatever he wanted to do. And you would think that that would help build my confidence to do that in other places in my life, but for some reason I just never quite clicked in my head that I should try that elsewhere. So I just would come up and I'd give him 20 minutes, and I'd say, "God, whatever you want to do with this 20 minutes, you go for it." And then people would come up afterwards and say, "Oh, you did a great job," and I would honestly say it wasn't me. Well, last month we went to Germany. And before the trip, I was feeling very anxious about the trip. I didn't quite know what to expect, and I wasn't sure. It was just an anxious time for me. And so, at one point, it overwhelmed me to the point where I was just giving up. And I was like, "All right, here's the deal, God. I'm going to give you this trip. This whole trip that we're going, 10 days or however long it was, I'm giving it to you. You do what you want with it, and I'll just get out of the way." And it was one of the greatest trips I've ever been on in my entire life. The entire time I was there was such an attitude of servitude. I was there for the people who I was there with. I went to visit my friend Ferdinand and Jana, and they were doing stuff with this conference of animation. And so the whole time we were there, my goal was just to support them and to be there for them and just to help them with whatever I could. And it was wonderful and marvelous. And then the last day we were there on Saturday, my wife wanted to go see this castle. And unfortunately, there was a train strike the week we were there. Of course, all year they had to pick that one. And so we determined that it would take 2.5 hours to get to this castle instead of one. And that once we got to the castle, we had no idea if we'd be able to get back. Because the way the trains were striking, they could cancel a train at any time, and they did often. So we would be stuck out in the middle of the Black Forest, not having any way of getting back. And it was rough. And so we decided, all right, we're just going to rent a car. It'll be more expensive, but we'll rent a car. Well, it turns out when there's a train strike, a lot of people rent cars. Go figure. So we went all over the city trying to find a rental car, standing in lines, getting to the front and only finding out, no, there are none left. I remember specifically, and I hope I hold this memory forever, this one point where we're standing in one of the rental places, and I looked at my wife in her eyes, and in my head, I had two options. One was keep going, and the other was explain to her, maybe we'll do this next time because it's just not working. And there was just such a wonderful light in her eyes, and I knew that there was only one decision to make, and I said, all right, where's the next place? Look it up. And so we found another place in one of the train stations, and they had one car left, and it was probably the smallest car I've ever been in my life. And it was only in manual, so Liang had to drive the whole time because nobody else could. And we got in this car and we went to the castle, and it was one of the best days of the whole trip. And it was one we'll always have with us, and we will always remember how much effort it took to get to that castle. And God just took it and used it in a way I would have never expected. And I try not to cry here. When I was on the flight home, I had headphones in and I was listening to music, looking out over the clouds, and it was just perfect. And I said to God, can you do this more often? And he said, sure, if you get out of the way more often. And so I got home, and I've recently started a new endeavor. And I won't advertise it up here, but if you want to hear about it, you can come talk to me. And I had started it before we left. But when I got back, I started getting out of the way of it. And I started saying, all right, you know what? All these plans that I had, and the marketing, and the this, and the everything, I'm done. You take it. You do whatever you want with it. And I'm just going to try and be as useful to the world as I possibly can. And over the past month that I've been working on this new project, it has been such a blessing to me. And every day, I'm so filled with enthusiasm to sit down at my computer and just work on it. And I've been able to hopefully touch some lives, and I've had a lot of lives touch me. And for the first time, besides the sermons and a little trip to Germany, I've been able to give my life over to God completely and just say, it's up to you, Lord, whatever you want. I don't, just get me out of the way. And go back to the scriptures in Romans 6:13. It says, do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. When I was reading this earlier today, what struck me was the sense that what we have to offer is our will. Our souls are what we have to give back to God, because they're the only thing that are ours. Everything else is Him. The money in the plate is Him. The skin on my arm is Him. But I have my will, and that's what I can give Him. And so this passage in Romans kind of reminded you, when you're giving your whole self completely, that's what he's asking for. He's just asking for your will. From Mark 8, 34 through 37, this is Jesus speaking. It says, "Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?'" Again, this last line, "what can anyone give in exchange for their soul," is just so powerful to me, because it's saying you don't have anything else to give. You can go ahead and give everything else you have, but until you give that part, there's just nothing there. In John 16:33, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." When I was working on this project that I'm doing before Germany, I was doing it very based on the world. I have read books. I have watched videos on how you market things, how you do things, how you manipulate the system so that it all works out. But there wasn't a lot of peace there. There was a lot of anxiety because I was like, I have to do it this way. It has to work this way. As soon as I let go, boy, it's like I have too much peace. I start to be concerned that I am missing something because it's so easy. But I don't think I am missing something. I think I finally found the thing that I was missing the whole time. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths." This is beautiful and wonderful, and I hope that you will grasp it with me. It says, "In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." If you give him all of it, he will put you exactly where you need to be. That is very, very hard to do. At least it is for me. And I'm sure some people are farther along than I am, and so it's easier. But when you are putting your security into his hands completely, it is tough sometimes, because you want to hold on to that control, and I love control, so it's very easy for me to want to hold on to it. But it's worth giving up. And I want to conclude with two things. The first is from John 3:30. It's like seven little words. Can I get them out? It's John the Baptist speaking. And he says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." My favorite Bible passages are the ones that do this to me, that just wreck me, because of how powerful they are. And they're so short, usually. There's a lot from David and Psalms that just take me away. To decrease. For me to be less so that he can be more. We've all probably heard it 1,000 times. I hope that we live it. That's my goal here. To start living it out. To start actually giving him my all. To lessen me. To get out of the way. And if I can do that, then I'm in really good shape. I lost my bulletin, so give me a second. Let me grab one. If you turn with me to the front of your bulletin, you'll see that there are some song lyrics. And it's from a song by Reliant K, and as I was talking to Denny earlier, he asked me if the K was from my name, and I said, no, this is a different Reliant K. If they want me to sing poorly with them, though, I would be happy to, so just putting that out there. So Reliant K is one of my favorite bands, all-time favorite bands, and somehow this song had escaped me. And so my wife presented it to me one day when we were driving home from work and I was having a particularly taxing day. And it spoke to me in such powerful ways. And it was one of those days that I needed to hear the line that says, to live, you must give your life away. Because the whole day I had spent giving myself to others, being poured out for everybody else, and I felt like I didn't have any time for myself. And what I realized in this beautiful little lyric was, that is your life if you let it be. If you can just give it to everybody else, boy, what else can you do? What better use of your time is there? It's brilliant. So, here's what I'm going to try and do. I'm going to try and sing a little bit about this, of this song for you. You can follow it along. No Christine, so it won't be great, but it will be from the heart. And I'm going to stop before this last part because I can't even read the last part without sobbing because this last part is me completely. But I'll sing the other part for you, and then we'll close. I've given up on giving up slowly. I'm blending in so you won't even know me. Apart from this whole world that shares my fate. This one last bullet you mention is my one last shot at redemption. Cause I know to live you must give your life away. And I've been housing all this doubt and insecurity. And I've been locked inside that house. And all the while you hold the key and I've been dying to get out. That might be the death of me, and even though there's no way of knowing where to go, promise I'm going because I gotta get out of here. I'm stuck inside this rut that I fell into by mistake. I gotta get out of here. And I'm begging you, I'm begging you, I'm begging you to be my escape. If you want to hear how the last verse goes, maybe you can get Christine to sing it for you. Or you can go online and hear it, because it's so powerful when they sing it. It's slow, it has piano in the background, and it is so powerful. And I'm not even going to attempt that one today. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer to close. God, wow, thank you. Thank you for this. Thank you for the opportunity to just let you have us so that you can do the most amazing things that beyond anything we could ever expect or imagine or try to do ourselves. Lord, give us courage. This week, if it's an hour, if it's a day, if it's a week, if it's the rest of our lives, help us to give it to you. Whatever we can give up, be patient with us as you always are, so that we can keep working towards that wonderful, glorious day when we say, "Here I am, Lord. Anything you want, it's yours." Amen.